Welcome to the Finding Grace in the Wilderness podcast. I'm your host, Sharon Hawkins. Here each week, we will share stories about how God's grace can be found during life's most difficult circumstances. Meet with me around the table as we chat with others who have found that God's faithfulness never ends. We will share truth and life and discuss faith, fears, struggles, and victories. Join us as we seek to grow deeper in relationship with Jesus, the one who makes a way in the wilderness and rivers in the desert. Wow, 2025. It's so hard to believe that the new year is already here. It's a fresh, clean slate. It's time to turn a page. I don't know about you, but I love to read. In a matter of seconds, I can visit faraway places, be transformed into the heroine of an adventure, and forget all the cares that come with this life. Reading is a getaway, and everybody knows we need a getaway, right, girls? Well, almost everybody. If you're the mother of small kids, they have trouble grasping that concept. When my kids were little, I used to love to disappear, and with a sneaky smile on my face, I'd lock the bathroom door. I would run a hot bath, submerge my body into the tub and my mind into a book until the water got cold or a family crisis beckoned, whichever came first. Usually there were a few knocks at the door. In the books that I read, there were no piles of laundry, dishwashers to be emptied, or bills to be paid. They were purely fiction, of course. Our life is like a book. It's even wilder than fiction. There are slow starts, twisting turns, riveting climaxes, intriguing plots, and surprise endings. Boy, those endings. Parts of our book are so incredible that we don't want them to end, while other parts are so hard. We can't turn the pages fast enough. We want to get through it. And some are so amazing, we don't want to forget them, so we try to savor those pages. Maybe we'll reread them. Others so terrible, we would like to rip the pages out altogether because we don't want to remember them. Life can be described at times as a horrible kind of wonderful, like childbirth. My, how time passes by so quickly. My oldest son is 30 years old. I remember a friend telling me before he was born, "When you leave for the hospital, take one look around because your life will never be the same." That seems like a couple of years ago, truly. Yet it's been 30 years. Wow, where does the time go? The clock never slows down. At other times, our lives can be described as a wonderful kind of horrible, like experiencing a parent's transition from his or her earthly home to heaven. I was there when both my parents passed, and I wouldn't trade that experience for the world. It was like preparing them through labor to be born into the kingdom of God. Both times Jesus came for my parents, I could feel him in the room. Life is miraculous. Just the fact that we can get up each day and keep going. Laughter is sprinkled with our tears as we read our life story. If someone asked me if I wanted to go back and relive my life, I think the answer would be no. I've come too far. God's brought me through too many things. And the moment that I'm in right now, with these wonderful two little sweet grandbabies, Levi 3 and Hadley 1, I wouldn't change that for the world. I wouldn't miss a second of where I am now. They say the years go by quickly, but the days just crawl. And that's true when we have little kids and we're working full time and we're trying to take care of elderly parents and we're trying to do it all. It's a juggle. The days seem long, but the years go by so quickly. In looking back, it's just been a blur. How quickly years have passed. Some life books have many pages, many chapters. Others are short stories that end all too quickly. Like in the life of my Bradley, who passed away at age 21 3 years ago, there's a popular quote that says, "Life is not measured by the number of breaths we take, but by the moments that take our breath away." Life is a love story, a comedy, and a tragedy all rolled into one. More than anything else, it's a mystery. I think if we knew what was ahead, we'd dig a hole and stick our head in it. God knows what's ahead. I believe that God sees our life much like a parade. He sees the beginning, the middle, and the end all at one time. He knows what's behind us. He knows where we are, and He knows what's ahead. God's name is I Am. He is I Am in the past, I Am in the present, and I Am in the future. My job is to be present right now, to savor every moment of the life He's given me, to be used of Him in the ways He finds best for me. To live a surrendered life is the answer to an abundant life. The chapters of our lives unfold in expected order through the hoods: childhood, teenhood, young adulthood, parenthood, middle adulthood, late adulthood, and the best part of all, grandparenthood. But often things happen that we don't expect, and we find ourselves starting a new chapter while scratching our heads, wondering when the last page of the last chapter got turned. Unexpected news of another child on the way. News from a doctor, getting hired for a new job, a layoff from a job, a divorce, or the unthinkable, the death of a spouse or a child or a parent. Any of these plot twists can leave us in a state of bewilderment, frantically reviewing the pages, searching for answers, and trying hard to grasp what just happened. There have been so many surreal moments in my life, like when the doctor told me that I had cancer, like when another doctor told me that my son had passed, like the day my mom told me she had cancer, the day I found out that my best friend had embezzled from my company. I know all of you have had days just like that, where you're rocking along and thinking everything's going so well, and a phone call changes everything. We don't know the future. We don't know what's going to happen today, but God does. And if we walk with Him, He'll carry us safely through, no matter what. We all have ups and downs in our story. Some of the life-changing downs are more horrific and devastating than words can describe. And through many trials, we wonder what's coming in the pages ahead. While it's okay for us to wonder what's next in God's will for us, we shouldn't worry. Romans 8:28 promises that all things work together for good to them who love God, to them who are called according to His purpose. After all, God has provided us the greatest book ever written to give us insight into His plans for us. For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you hope and a future. Jeremiah 29:11. The Lord knows how your story turns out. For those of us who accept Jesus as our personal Savior, He blesses our story with an eternity in heaven with Him. That is truly the last chapter, but the good news is it never ends. As we look ahead to 2025, Hebrews 12:2 reminds us to be looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. To start the new year right, let's make God the first word. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. That's John 1:1. So now we'll open the book, 2025. Its pages are blank. We're going to put words on them ourselves. The book is called Opportunity, and its first chapter is New Year's Day. That's a quote by Edith Lovejoy Pierce. It's important to give the Lord what belongs to Him, as we do with our tithes. Proverbs 3:9-10 says, "Honor the Lord with your wealth, with the first fruits of all your crops. Then your barns will be filled to overflowing, and your vats will brim over with new wine." Just like our tithes should come off the top of the money that we receive before anything else is spent, so should our time for the new year. It's a great idea to put Jesus first in the new year and spend time with Him, asking Him for His guidance and blessings for the new year. Every year for the last 4 or 5 years, I have said a word for the year. I've prayed about the word, I've sought God, He's the only one that knows where we are in our lives, what's ahead, and what His plans are for us. It's a great time of reflection as the year ends and the new year starts. My word for 2025 is victory. There have been some situations recently in which I have realized that I had classified myself as a victim. A few weeks ago, I had a lovely stomach virus that put me in bed for a few days. I stumbled across a talk by Candace Owens while I was sick, and I listened to her with full attention. She asked the group of thousands, "Who here has had something bad happen to them?" And many in the audience answered by raising their hands that they had. Then she asked the question, "Who here is a victim?" Some raised their hands, but not nearly as many. Then she shared a story about her high school years when four boys in her class left messages telling her that they were going to harm her and her family. One of the young boys that left the message was the son of a congressman. She didn't get the text messages right away, and later that night she read them and she was horrified and afraid for herself and her family. She went back to school the following Monday, and the teacher happened to talk about racism in class. Then she burst into tears. When she burst into tears, the teacher took her aside and she shared the story. Then he took her to the principal, who promptly called the police. The incident became a big deal nationally because of the congressman's son, the nature of the threat. It was considered a hate crime because she is black and the boys were white. Truly, though, the boys were 14, 15, and 16. It was just four boys riding around in a car trying to think of who they could prank, and they picked Candace. Looking back, Candace says that shouldn't have ruined all their lives. In addition, she received death threats from others throughout the country, and it really hurt her as a young girl. She could have claimed that victim mentality and let that destroy her life. Yet when she was 17, she did a video and posted it, and it hit 26 million viewers. It was entitled, "Mom and Dad, I'm a Conservative." Candace is now an advocate for pro-life. She is a voice for those who are less fortunate. She is a Christian and she stands strong on her convictions. Whether you know of Candace Owens or not, or you like Candace Owens or not, that's not the point of this story. I was convicted when I listened to her talk. I realized that I had allowed myself to be a victim in a number of situations. And the one who is victorious over me was the enemy. Ephesians 6 says, "For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the cosmic powers over this present darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places." For 2025, I'm a victor, not a victim. And I am walking in this new year in the power of the Lord Jesus Christ. He has won the victory for me and defeated death, hell, and the grave. And He loves me greatly. And I will not allow the enemy to encumber me. In 2025, I am resolved to lean more heavily on the Lord as He will fight my battles. I plan to make a conscious effort when things are difficult for me to stop, to try to avoid stress, by praising God and thanking Him for the situation that I'm in. No matter what it is, there's always a positive. I learned that from C.C. Winans. God uses other people to help us grow in their walk. I challenge you to spend time with the Lord, seeking what your word might be for the new year, a word that will change you from previous patterns and help you make positive progress for the new year. What will you write in your 2025 book? Will you allow God to have the pen for 2025? Is God calling you to a new adventure? What chapter are you on? What wisdom have you discerned from the chapters that have already been written in your life? How can you take what you've learned and help others in their journey? Proverbs 3, 5 through 6 says, "Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways submit to Him, and He will make your path straight." While it's important for us to look back and determine what we've learned and use that for God's glory, it's more important that we trust Him above all things and that we pray and seek Him first. Psalm 24 says, "May He give you the desire of your heart and make all your plans succeed." That's my prayer and wish for you for 2025. 2025, it sounds like a science fiction movie, doesn't it? I don't know about you, but for me, I was just standing at a neighborhood bonfire before midnight in the year 2000. For those old timers like me, you'll remember there was major concern that when the computers turned over to 000, that the computers would crash and our whole world would be stalled. It was very frightening. Boy, we didn't know anything then, did we? Here we are, 25 years later. Still, God is the only one who understands everything about us. He knows what this year will hold for us. We have a new president, but we don't have a new God. God is sovereign and over it all. Ecclesiastes 3:1 says, "There is a time for everything and a season for every activity under the heavens." No matter what our circumstances are, one thing is certain. Our circumstances will change. Life changes. Life changes us. But as Hebrews 13:8 says, Jesus is the same yesterday and today and forever. I love the quote by Corrie Ten Boom that says, "Never be afraid to trust an unknown future to a known God. He is faithful, He loves us more than we could ever imagine, and He's able to carry us through any circumstance, good or bad. He's working all things for the good of His children and for His glory." Ephesians 3:20 through 21 are some of my most favorite verses. "Now to Him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that works in us, to Him be glory in the church, by Christ Jesus to all generations, forever and ever. Amen." Ready or not, here comes the new year. You might say, "Oh no," or you might say, "Oh yes, finally." You know, whatever God has planned for us for 2025 will be perfect, simply because He is perfect. And whatever we face, as long as He's with us, we can handle it. Better yet, let's not handle it. Let's just give it to Him. Let's let Him fight our battles. The best way to do that is on our knees. We just need to pray and give thanks to God. This world is a scary place these days, but God is still in control, and we can rest in that. So take a deep breath, hold your head up, stick your chest out, fully clothed in the armor of God. Step out into the new year. We don't know what the future holds, but we know who holds the future. And that's all we need to know. Peggy Tony Horton once wrote, "Each new year, we have before us a brand new book containing 365 blank pages. Let us fill them with all the forgotten things from last year, the words we forgot to say, the love we forgot to show, and the charity we forgot to offer." God is the God of second chances. If there are things He's called you to do last year, it's not too late. Today is the day. Let's not look back on the pages turned in disappointment in our life story, but ahead to the promises of God. There are many left to unfold in the new chapter of our lives called 2025. Let's place our hope not in the new year, but in the One who makes all things new. In the new year, may you find love, peace, joy, and hope. And may you always find grace in your wilderness.
Thank you for listening to this episode of Finding Grace in the Wilderness.
May God lead you safely through your wilderness as you trust Him, and may His river of grace always flood your desert times. He is doing a new thing. Let's not miss it. Subscribe or follow to make sure you don't miss a single episode. See you here next time.